What if we could transform healthcare for underserved communities by empowering independent practices to deliver value-based care? Our next guest, Dr. Michael Poku, is doing just that as Chief Clinical Officer at Equality Health. With extensive experience in clinical leadership, medical informatics, and value-based care models, Dr. Poku is spearheading a transformative approach that equips independent practices with technology, care coordination, and hands-on support to optimize whole-person care for diverse populations, especially those on Medicaid. Join us as Dr. Poku shares his journey and Equality Health's mission to eradicate healthcare disparities via their pioneering model that is driving better outcomes, reducing costs, and delivering value-based care for diverse communities. Let's go.
Welcome to Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli, where we highlight and speak with the innovators, the game changers, and the pioneers who are deeply passionate and relentless in solving the problems our world is facing today. This is your opportunity to connect with and learn from these leaders and to support them on their mission. Perhaps they will soon be hearing your story as well. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you on this journey with us.
Hi, Dr. Poku. A big welcome to our podcast today.
Yeah, Mike, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be on.
Well, as an accomplished healthcare executive with extensive experience spanning clinical leadership, medical informatics, and value-based care, I'm thrilled to dive into your journey and insights on driving innovation in healthcare delivery models. But before we dive in, a bit of housekeeping. While listening to any of our episodes, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast so you will automatically receive episode updates in your podcast player. Simply search Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Lastly, please visit the bottom of the episode notes to connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter in order to further the conversations occurring on this podcast. All right, Michael, it's almost time for our community to learn how you and the Equality Health team are deploying a whole-person care model that helps independent practices adopt and deliver value-based care for diverse communities. But first, what's that one piece of advice that you would give to others who are passionate about reimagining the health of our world?
Yeah, I mean, the one piece of advice I would give is to make sure that you're networking smartly and find good mentors and coaches, and be sure to also be a good mentor and coach. So I think the power of connectedness is what draws us all together and what drives us to do this great work. And I would just encourage everybody out there to make sure you're reaching out and touching somebody, both above you, below you, and laterally as well.
Michael, I absolutely love it. I'm fortunate. I live in one of the top tech communities in the country, the greater Denver, Colorado area, including Boulder. And one of the leaders here, Brad Feld, who started TechStars, he wrote a book called Startup Communities. And the big mantra in there is give first. So Michael, you are absolutely spot on. It's one thing to make sure that we are being mentored and we have those folks guiding us as well. But I don't know about you. I also find sometimes my biggest learnings is when I'm mentoring. I love the opportunity to give back, and it is amazing and how enlightening it is for me personally, the things I learn when I'm actually in that mentor seat, if you will. It's actually a huge education for me. Is this a kind of the part of the culture, not only for you and how you go on the daily, but is this also something that you guys work on inside of Equality Health, not only amongst yourselves as team members, but even externally as well?
It is, right? It's all about interconnectedness, and we are a technology-enabled organization, but we believe in people first. Whether it be patients, whether it be the practices, whether it be ourselves, whether it be the community-based organizations that we're supporting, we think that that person-centeredness permeates everything that we do, and it ought to show. So it's a core part of our value set, and I'm proud to be part of the organization with such a mission and dedication.
Well, I love how you teed things up. This is something, a huge passion of mine as well, giving back, making sure you, like you said, go reaching above you, reaching below you, and laterally. We're going to talk about that kind of person and patient first mindset that you and the team have at Equality Health, all the wonderful things that you are accomplishing at such a fast and extensive rate. It is an incredible story of what's happening in your camp. We're going to unpack all of that and more after we get back from thanking our community champion sponsor.
Healthcare faces a paradox that echoes through generations. While the current practices that help heal patients today are vital, it is crucial to evaluate them through an environmental lens. OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative is a collection of interviews featuring influential thought leaders and industry experts like you who share their sustainability strategies, insights, and provide valuable perspectives from diverse industries to inspire innovation within the healthcare sector. OSHA invites you to join this journey. Want to share your sustainability story? Oser is actively looking for partners to highlight the important and inspiring work being done around the globe. Check out Oser's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative and series at oser.com. That's OSSUR.com. Or visit the episode notes and click on their link. Together and with Oser helping lead the way, let's all be responsible for tomorrow.
All right, we are back with Dr. Michael Poku, Chief Clinical Officer to Quality Health. Michael, thank you, first of all, so much for joining. I know how fast-paced things are in the Quality Health camp right now. Thank you for taking a pit stop to be with myself and, more importantly, our community rallied around this podcast. Michael, you really framed things up on the front end, talking about that kind of people-first mindset, making sure that that is the ethos, that is what's driving you and your organization. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're going to talk also how this all come to be. You're approaching your one-year anniversary with Equality Health. You guys are just growing like crazy, delivering incredible value in our communities across the nation and continuing to grow. We'll also talk, you know, where are things heading? What are you seeing out there in your kind of field of expertise and the lens that you have? And of course, where Equality Health is going. And then I love the opportunity to be able to help you as well. But before we get all of that, Michael, take us behind the curtain, if you will. Take us behind the scenes. Give us a little bit of that journey that led you to Equality Health. How'd this all come to be? How did you get into the position to become the Chief Clinical Officer at Equality Health?
Yeah, so I started things off in Nashville, spent a number of years there for both my undergrad and medical school. And as many people know now, but they didn't always know then, is Nashville is a huge, huge healthcare services and healthcare technology boom city. So I was really able to cut my teeth even early on, early days, with a lot of very interesting healthcare entrepreneurs, healthcare organizations, large and small, and really get a good sense of the multidisciplinary view of healthcare and health and human services more broadly, in terms of how do we think about this notion of whole person care, and how do we think about not necessarily delivering units of service that we call healthcare, but really promoting health and thinking about folks robustly and from a so-called biopsychosocial perspective. And I just really fell in love with it early on. During that time, also sort of hopped out and did an MBA at Harvard Business School. So I spent some time in Boston, put all the different pieces together, did some formal training in biomedical informatics, which I think was the last piece where, you know, really focusing on the medical and the clinical piece and getting that in my toolkit, as well as the MBA and the business piece. But even at that time, it was very clear that, hey, technology is really going to take an outsized role with respect to how we think about healthcare services and social services and embedding the two together to be able to keep folks healthy. So that sort of entered in the clinical informatics piece and the sort of the formal training in data science and technology to sort of make things crystalline. And then from there, really cutting my teeth at helping on the consulting side, as well as spending time practicing medicine, which I still practice today. And I love the patient care facing aspects. And then spending some deep, deep time in value-based care, which I've long believed and long held, is the way that we sort of solve the ills of our current healthcare system and take unnecessary costs out of the system and make the delivery system much more reliable and effective and person-centered. So eventually rolled into Equality Health after spending some time at Oak Street Health, where we had a shared financial sponsor who, you know, that entity truly, truly believes in value-based care and in transforming the healthcare delivery system. And I fell in love with the people at Equality Health and the mission and the value set, and everything just really came together nicely for my transition into the Chief Clinical Officer role at Equality Health. And I've enjoyed every minute of it since I joined.
I love a good roundup and a synopsis of kind of where you were and how it led up to today and being that Chief Clinical Officer at Equality Health. Michael, when you first met the team, you know, I love going behind the scenes a bit and talking a little bit of the subjectivity of it all. You know, we can talk interview and yeah, I did this, this, and this to get the role. But did you guys click? Did the leadership team and you click immediately? And you mentioned you saw a lot of things that writing on the wall that really made Equality Health important. But, you know, one thing that we talk about here, our business leaders ensuring, because you know as well as I do, we spend a large majority of our time working. And so it's important that you have that chemistry amongst the leadership team. Did you have that immediately? Did you notice that? Did you guys kind of glom onto each other? Did it click quickly? How was that leading up to becoming formally joining the team?
Yeah, so there was an instant chemistry, I think, between me and not only the leaders, I'd say, but everybody I had met at all different altitudes at Equality Health, right? And what I'd say is, as I mentioned before, really this deep sense of a do good, do well, and this deep sense of equity and inclusivity, it really cuts through everything that's done at Equality Health and everything that we think about and how we make decisions. And that's made very plain from an outside-in perspective. And again, just all the conversations I had up to that really resonated with my values and the passionate commitment that Equality Health as an entity and that the individuals and employees within the organization, it's just really felt. And the interesting thing is that I had interacted with Equality Health a few years prior in talking about different partnerships and things of that nature. So I was already familiar with Equality Health, and it struck me even then about this whole notion that this truly is, again, as I call it, that do good, do well, where people are passionate and driven and mission-oriented, at the same time, doing it in a way that, hey, we can do it within the schema of risk-based capital and growth and doing it sustainable, as doing it in a financially sustainable manner. It just all really came together nicely for me.
Let's talk about doing good and doing well. You teed me up perfectly, Michael. Let's start getting into it. Let's talk about who Equality Health is, what you guys are experiencing right now in the marketplace. And I mentioned earlier, I want to talk also future state. I'm a firm believer and right there with you. I believe that the value-based care and these models are the way of how we're going to get us out of this crisis that is our current healthcare state and our current industry thereof. So Michael, go ahead. Let's first start there. Always love the elevator pitch. Let's start there. Basics. Who is Equality Health?
Yeah. So Equality Health, we are a technology-enabled value-based care organization where first and foremost, we're an enablement organization that focuses on supporting independent practices to drive and transform their operations with a value-based care orientation. So we help practices transform in order to adopt and implement value-based care practices to support their patients with a Medicaid-first perspective, which is part of the unique aspect of our offering, right? So we're data-driven, we're technology-enabled, we provide wraparound services, and we support independent practices to make them, again, with this do good, do well motif, more financially sustainable, provide more resources so they can better support their patients with a focus on those living with Medicaid, who are often left out, often in disinvested communities, and are often, up till now, not always the first beneficiaries of this value-based care transformation.
Now, and in regards to, you know, supporting these independent primary care practices, you know as well as I do, over the past number of years, we've seen a ton of consolidation, mergers, and acquisitions, and it has been tough sledding out there for a Dr. Mike and a Dr. Michael practice to stay standalone. So I preface with that comment to then ask the next question, Michael. You know, that another caveat to that is a lot of primary care practices, they've been left to the wayside in regards to a deep investment on technology, on these types of tools that can help empower them to run a successful business to, as you mentioned, create that do good and do well. Has this been a breath of fresh air for those standalone PCPs that you guys work with? What has the experience been like for them? What's the receptivity and what's the feedback you've been receiving from them?
Yeah, so we've gotten tremendous feedback because just to your point, you know, the macro environment for the last handful of years and then even sort of looking even further back for an independent practice has not been all rosy. So our ability to help practices transform along this domain and mature their operations to embrace value-based care has truly been a breath of fresh air in terms of the feedback that we're getting. Because what I'd submit to you is most practices, big or small, independent, private equity backed, or owned by a health system, there is an inherent understanding that we need to go towards the way of value-based care, and we need to transform and deviate from the so-called fee-for-service mechanisms. It's just the self-efficacy and the understanding and the know-how and the, quite frankly, the capital support to be able to get from point A to point B all the way across the finish line and truly and fully embrace a value-based care model. That's where we come in at Equality Health, and we're providing technology, we're providing tools, we're providing additional resources that unfortunately in this day and age, every practice, particularly those that are smaller and independent, do not always have the resources to be able to invest, to be able to realize it. So it's been quite rewarding from my perspective, because I think a lot of organizations talk about, including us, meeting patients where they are. And that's something that we often state as a mantra internally with our organization. But we are also meeting practices where they are. And that's just been, again, so incredibly rewarding for me, because it's one thing to take a fully transformed practice with huge capital stores and to help them transform. If they've, you know, a lot of those are already have already been along the transformation cascade. It's a whole other thing to help a practice that's got 2-3 months of working capital and they're really tight and they're just wanting to support their communities and they know they need to transform, but they just legitimately do not have the backing, the support, the wherewithal, or the resources to be able to do that. We jump in and we help those practices transform, meeting them where they are, and help them move upward and to the right with regard to transformation efforts.
And also, Michael, you mentioned earlier, and I just want to make sure we touch upon it for our community that may be interested as to the reason of why the focus around Medicaid population. What is the reasoning around there? Why are you guys laser focused on that population?
Yeah, so one of the things that really drew me in to Equali, this unwavering focus and dedication that we have on Medicaid, and what I'd suggest is, you know, it's a crucial cornerstone of America's safety net. And it's a population that, again, historically has not always had the investment and the resources. Yet I would also argue that it's the population that needs oftentimes the most support and the most investment in the most innovation in order to drive things there. So we're excited about it. I think it's an incredibly compelling draw, and I think it's very challenging. So it's good, hard, challenging work, and it's a population that really deserves it. And from society's perspective, it's something that we really, really need to get right in order to get healthcare right, in order to get everything else right.
And one thing you also mentioned, Michael, you mentioned bringing these opportunities for technology and innovation into these practices. Does that then also, you know, flow into the hands of the patient as well? And if so, how has that experience been as well?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Mike. And what I'd say is that the short answer is yes, right? Like at the heart of Equality Health's mission lies our dedicated approach and our yearning to eradicate health disparities. And to do that is, again, with a Medicaid first perspective, to do that in diverse socioeconomic and cultural populations. So the way that our model works is that we've got many hands in many different areas, right? So Equality Health, we were forging partnerships not just with the practices, but we're also working with health plans, community-based organizations, primary care providers, specialty providers, other tech-enabled service providers that have a similar mission orientation that we can come together and 1+1 truly equals 3. We can have that synergistic effect. But then most importantly is the patients and the families themselves and within the communities that we're serving. So we are supporting the practices, but we're also spending a bunch of time, I think appropriately, with patients and families to be able to make sure that, again, we're promoting health and that we're narrowing and eliminating healthcare disparities. So it's a core piece of what we do in terms of driving that healthcare transformation and driving that value-based care orientation.
And how has the response and the feedback been from not only, of course, you know, customer can be used in a big, big way here, but those end users, those end stakeholders that you are serving, maybe it is a practice, maybe it is the inpatient. What's the response been from the folks that are engaged with Equality Health?
Yeah, so particularly from the patient and family's perspective, it's, again, similarly been a breath of fresh air because, as I mentioned before, particularly when we're talking about a Medicaid-first posture, many of those have been historically marginalized, historically underserved with respect to healthcare access, with respect to some of these more on-demand, convenience-oriented services. And we're bringing that same rigor in that same degree of innovation to this population. So a lot of times we're met with such surprise, we're met with such delight that we are spending the time, energy, and resources in this particular domain because that's not something that the patients that we're serving always understand and perceive around them.
So exciting. Well, let's talk a little bit as well, a little future state. Let's pull that proverbial crystal ball off the shelf, Michael. Let's talk about two things kind of on the horizon, think 2 to 3, 3 to 5 years out, not only where things are going in regards to value-based care and serving the Medicaid population, but of course, where is quality health going to be in that mix as well?
Yeah. So I think taking the first part of your question and thinking about, you know, bubbling up and where we're going to be, I'm pretty excited. And again, I put on the clinical informatics hat on and I'm excited to see the innovation with respect to large language models and AI and ChatGPT and others, where I think there's going to be, and there already has been, such a catalyst to have more of these data-driven solutions to support the effort in terms of making sure that we're promoting health and that we're narrowing and eliminating healthcare disparities, which is where equality will always sit there. And we'll always sit at that intersection of how to do that, particularly in, again, diverse socioeconomic populations, those that have been historically marginalized and overlooked. But I think we'll all be able to wrap our arms around it and do it better, more efficiently, more effectively, with more of a, again, data supporting, with more of that predictive analytics and those insights increasingly that are getting sharper and sharper, and then have a more prescriptive approach as well, which is where I think both us at Equality and the broader landscape is going to land. Because increasingly we can say, you know, hey, Mike, here's the, you know, the handful of patients who are going to be that 5% who represent 50% of the cost. But we don't always know what to do to support that population to affect change in a way that's reliable and predictable. And I think we're going to get better and better and sharper at that. And for Equality Health, I see us doing that with really a moral and economic imperative, so to speak, to do that across multiple states, to be able to ensure that everyone living with Medicaid has the best outlook and best services, whether it be healthcare, social support services, community-based outreach, technological support from an omnichannel approach. We owe it to that population, and everybody is owed that. And our ability to drive that at Equality Health is what I get really excited about.
Yeah, you can definitely, I can sense it across the microphone and in my headphones, Michael. It is an exciting future state, that is for sure. And again, I'm so excited to continue to follow the journey. Let's bring it back to current state. We'll put the crystal ball back on the shelf, if you will. Always love to help our guests out. We have an incredible audience rallied around this podcast. What's one problem, need, or question that you and the Equality Health team have that this community can be helping you with?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think at Equality Health, we've been at this for almost 10 years. I've been at the organization for almost a year. And what I'd say is that there's still a lot to do. So, like, I would invite your whole audience to, you know, join the fray if you're not already with regard to value-based care and this transformation effort, because we need this in every domain across the healthcare and the health and human services landscape. We need more folks coming together. We need more innovation. And I think that's one challenge that I would pose to your audience to say, you know, wake up and be thinking about how you can help the transformation efforts, which are ongoing, but still plenty to do.
Absolutely love it. Well, of course, I know there will be community members that will want to have that conversation. How do they get a hold of you? Social media handles, websites, contact points online. How do they track you down, Michael?
Yeah, I think the easiest is just go to equalityhealth.com and everything else can cascade from there. But I'm excited to interact with your audience, Mike. So equalityhealth.com is the best way to start the approach and reach out and connect.
Well, for our listening community, just simply scroll on down into your podcast player and the episode notes that you are listening to this episode through. Those contact points will be there for Michael and the Equality Health team. Of course, you can head over to our free global online community at passionatepioneers.com. There will be a post for this episode where you can also leave comments and feedback and find those contact points as well. Again, over at passionatepioneers.com. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining today. We've covered a lot. It's an exciting time, not only today, but for tomorrow as well, with all the leadership you've brought to and are continuing to bring to Equality Health. Cannot wait to continue to follow the journey. But before we get out of here, we do have a fill in the blank for you. I'm a passionate pioneer because?
Mike, I'm a passionate pioneer because I truly believe in the transformational power of value-based care and its ability to narrow and eliminate health disparities.
Absolutely love it. Well, way to bring it all back together to this, Michael, and sharing this amazing story of not only your journey, but what is happening in the Equality Health camp. We are really appreciative of your time to spend time with our audience and share your story. So, Michael, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, your audience, for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. We'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast so we can continue to improve this community and to further support the pioneers being featured. Lastly, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and invite your friends and colleagues to join us. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you back with us during our next episode.